This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here. Back at it for a Monday afternoon. And we want to talk about the Elliott State Research Forest. Of course, part of that in Douglas County, along with being in Coos County as well. Brett Brownscombe is with the Oregon Department of State Lands. Brett, thanks for being on with us today.
Hi, Kyle. No problem, and thank you for the invitation.
And tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and your background working in these areas.
Sure. So I work for the Department of State Lands as the transition director for the Elliott State Forest, working to transition it to the Elliott State Research Forest. Prior to this, I worked for a group called Oregon Consensus that works to find solutions. Is kind of a third-party, independent neutral that tries to find solutions tough public issues, which the Elliott is one. And prior to that, I worked for two Oregon governors, including Governor Kitzhaber, as a natural resource policy advisor, and did a stint with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and have been in and around the Elliott with a few different hats on since the state moved away from the effort to privatize the Elliott back in 2017 or so.
So how did you get interested in this whole arena?
Well, I think it was around 2011 or so, and it kind of came to me where I was in a position of working in Governor Kitzhaber's office, and the state was then thinking about signing a habitat conservation plan or advancing a habitat conservation plan for the Elliott that would advance permits for active management of the forest under the Endangered Species Act. And at the time, the Department of State Lands and the state walked away from that negotiation and moved forward with a plan, a forest management plan that was overseen by the Department of Forestry, and move forward with that. And wasn't too long after that that litigation of various types shut down a lot of the effort on the forest. And, you know, really it was the controversy that was on the plate at the time that it wasn't a choice. It kind of came to me. But I think that over time, the different layers of complexity, challenge, and opportunity in the Elliott have certainly kept my attention, as well as a lot of other people in the public. And, you know, it's just a fascinating, it may be 80 plus thousand acres of state forest land, but it bats 1,000 and punches well above its weight in terms of the bigger picture issues facing Oregon and rural communities and urban communities and the public interest and a whole lot of other values that play out on that landscape.
Now, the Elliott has got an interesting background for decades, a lot of controversy there, and then a gradual shift in thinking that kind of shifted a couple times. Talk more about that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll take a step back. I mean, if you go back in time, this landscape was ancestral land for indigenous people that whose members are now enrolled in tribes, including the Confederate tribes of the Coos, Iroquois, and Siuslaw Indians, as well as Coquel and Gillette's tribe, as well as other Western Oregon tribes. And, you know, there was a lot of reliance and dependence on that landscape for indigenous culture and practices, and those people were forced off the land. And eventually the Elliott became the first state forest in Oregon in 1930. And was managed at that time as a state forest. And, you know, the Board of Forestry advanced that. Department of State Lands was involved as the forest kind of through the decades moved into becoming a significant timber producer for the state's Common School Fund. And so as part of its history, the forest was connected to the Common School Fund of Oregon, which meant that it had an obligation to produce revenue for the Common School Fund. And that was what it did for decades. And, you know, through a variety of events, including the Columbus Day storm in the 60s, and then the salvage logging and response based on timber markets and where society was moving at the time. There was a whole lot of timber produced off that forest for a while. And then the landscape shifted socially, legally. There were endangered species listings, reform to the state's forest practices rules, and a whole lot of changes in management approach on public lands, including on state public lands. But I think things really came to a head in the early to mid 2000s, and certainly with litigation that ended in around 2013, where active management on the forest was really shut down through Endangered Species Act litigation, and the state had to figure out what to do. I don't want to go into too much detail unless you want to go there, but part of this was where to go, you know, with a forest that had been producing a lot of timber and now was shut down from active management. What should the state do given the attachment of the forest to the Common School Fund? And ultimately, through a lot of deliberation, upheaval, controversy, the state moved from a position of auctioning off parcels on the Elliott to potentially privatizing the entire forest and receiving a proposal from the private sector and in coordination with tribes to do so. And then the state land board moved away from that in a dramatic shift in around 2017 and decided it wanted to keep the land public in public ownership on behalf of the people of Oregon, and charted a path around public ownership that eventually landed on this research forest concept. So that's a bit of how we got to here, but there's a whole lot of detail and nuance in the nooks and crannies there.
Yeah, definitely a lot of different details. But now that the move is towards the research forest, explain, I guess maybe even, what is a research forest? What's the hope for the 83,000 acres, and what's going to be going on in the near future and up the road?
Sure. Well, a research forest is different than other forests in that, as the name implies, the driving purpose is management driven by research and, you know, management for other purposes, whether it's conservation or timber production or indigenous values or recreation. Those are all still driving purposes on the Elliott effort, but it's within the umbrella of it being a research forest. And so the intent is to advance research that's relevant to all those values, and not just shaping those values or what they could look like through scientific research on the Elliott, but what different approaches to management, whether for conservation, timber, or other objectives, including indigenous culture, what those objectives could, or what the results of that kind of management could look like for outcomes tied to economic, social, and conservation values, and, you know, compare and contrast different ways of doing forest management, everything from active to less active on one landscape. And the bet with the Elliott is, given how productive that land is, where it's situated within the Pacific Coast Range, there's a lot of relevant research and science that could influence practices, not just on the Elliott, but forest practices far beyond the Elliott, as well as conservation science and forest policy well beyond the Elliott. So the idea is to not do things just like any other forest, whether it's private or public. The intention is to do things different, with the ability to do science and experimentation on approaches that are different, and, you know, learn through doing, through research.
All right, Brett Brownscombe with us, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, more about the Elliott State Research Forest and plans for the future. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246. It's Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow's program, we're going to get the perspective of Matt Hill from the Douglas Timber Operators regarding a decision from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. There we go, right on the tip of my tongue. Regarding the Rock Creek Fish Hatchery. We'll get Matt Hill on tomorrow to talk about that. Brett Brownscombe from the Oregon Department of State Lands on with us now, talking about the Elliott State Research Forest. And Brett, we were just kind of going over what some of the things are in the research that is planned. It sounds like you're obviously leading this, but I imagine you are working with a lot of other folks and in different groups. What kind of help do you have as you go through this process?
Yeah, so the department, yeah, Kyle, back to the get back to the research force and what is it in a bit, but the department through the state land board, so the state land board is, as many people know, the top three elected offices in Oregon around the governor, the secretary of state, and the state treasurer, and they've had a vision for this research forest to happen since 2017, and it's evolved over time, but consistently, the land board has directed the Department of State Lands, who I work for, to do this with an advisory body of stakeholders, governments, interests, people, the diverse kind of full complement of interests who care about and are connected to the Elliott. And so since 2017, that's happened. There have been folks at the table from the forest product sector, the conservation NGO community, three tribes at the original, at the outset of this advisory committee process, a whole host of others, local government, and there's been the School Board Association and others. And so it's been a diverse array, within the group. Not everybody gets along, sees the world through the same eyes, and all of that had to come together in some kind of a proposed approach to find some forward movement on the Elliott. I mean, the forest has largely been, aside from custodial management and keeping a road system in good shape, the forest hasn't been managed. And so getting diverse interests to come together around forest management is it's about as easy as mixing oil and water. And thankfully, we've had progress and we've had challenges, certainly. But the vision for the research forest that the land board's maintained around public ownership of and an advancement of a research forest that is actively managed and promotes social, economic, and conservation outcomes, we're poised to move forward and really launch in 2025. If all things go well.
And as part of the process, the State Land Board last week appointed a Research Forest Board of Directors. They have got, I believe it's six people so far, but more to be added in the future possibly. What's their role going to be in this?
Their role is really oversight of the forest, the operational management of the forest. They wouldn't be doing the day-to-day decisions in forest operations. But when it comes to issues like public transparency and engagement and advancing diverse public values, broad direction of diverse public values on the forest, that would be the board's role. I should mention the land board indicated they want to get to a board of nine. They adopted an oversight structure in April of this year that calls for a 7 or 9 person voting board. And that board is advisory to the Department of State Lands. But through the oversight structure, the department has kind of given that board vested in that board authority to be, you know, certainly not a rubber stamp board and to really have some oomph. And the land board last week indicated it wanted to get to a 9-person board and only appointed 6 at that time, just as an initial filling of the board, knowing that there are still 3 seats. And there's some experiences and backgrounds, including from forest products and operations sector, operations of a research forest, and so science and research, indigenous people in governments, a whole host of interests that the land board wants to bring into the board structure more than the first 6 folks that were appointed. So if there are folks listening, please do latch on to that. And if you, you know, come from those experiences and backgrounds and have an interest in the Elliott, please do reach out.
So talking about the research aspect, who would be doing this research? Would you contract with different groups, or would this be Department of State land staff, or maybe some of both?
That's a great question, and it's part of the evolving, unfolding next step in the story on the Elliott. So part of the challenge and the opportunity around this is there just aren't a research forest is different, and while there are other research forests in the country, there aren't many that are this big and or could kind of deliver this much in terms of value around forest practices and policy related to forestry and conservation and indigenous outcomes. And so the you know, where we go on the Elliott is going to be something that is different than, you know, we're hopeful that we can find a research partner that is, we're starting with Oregon State University, which is where the research forest conversation started, but we're not sure exactly where it's going to land. I think, as folks might know, there was a decision by the president of the university back in November of last year to not take a vote on whether Oregon State would agree to manage and research the forest. And as a result, that's put Department of State lands in the position of managing the forest. But we at the department are not a research entity. And so we need to find a lead research partner or partners. We're working with Oregon State on that role. And hopefully we have productive next conversations on that. And it's really it's wrapped into, you know, speaking of where things are going, it's wrapped into the current forest management plan effort, where the department put out a draft forest management plan last week. And, you know, it's going to be available for public review and comment for over 45 days. And, you know, we need to wrap up what we need to wrap up in that forest management plan this October with the state land board is who is our lead research entity or entities, where they're going to be on the forest.
And as we get ready to wrap up, if people want to stay connected with getting information as this process evolves, what are some ways to do that?
Well, I think certainly just reaching out directly to me, if there are interests, there's a lot of information on the Department of State Lands website. We maintain a website titled Exploring an Elliott State Research Forest. There's a lot of the past history and information is there. We have a public process around the forest management plan, the draft forest management plan that I mentioned, that we'll be doing virtual and in-person meetings over the next few months. So I think monitoring the Elliott website that DSL has on that is a good way to do it.
All right, we're out of time for now. Brett Brownscombe of the Oregon Department of State Lands, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You- You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.